6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro. And I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Welcome to the Dear Son Show, where we help young boys, young men, and men know now what we wish we knew then. I'm one of your hosts, Jay Black.
D-Challenge, you're the host.
What's up, brother? What's
Everything up? Is lovely, man. Yeah. Deep breath, deep good. Cleansing breath today. Found a spot in our schedule to get this together, so
man,
I'm excited.
We've been dancing all morning.
I'm excited. How about you?
Everything good. We grinding, we pushing.
Yeah.
So I like it. I like the pace.
Yeah.
I like the exposure. I like the flow. I like the, we got a recurring guest that's dropping gems on us, man.
Absolutely.
I'm really, really enjoying the show.
Appreciate the new followers. Let me get that out. Yes. Man, we had tremendous growth. Probably 500 or 600 over the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
So we appreciate that. They came, Joe T, that's who you're referring to, Joe T Baker, yes. The third, has graced the platform. We're working on something more on a weekly show, so you'll get 3 drops a week, which is good.
Yes.
Cool thing is people came for him,
yeah.
But they made comments that they stand because they love the platform.
That's amazing.
So
That's amazing.
The whole grind has been getting eyes on the platform. We're confident in our content. Yeah. That's not being cocky. We just, when it gets in front of the right eyes, it connects. So
yeah.
Like, share, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend. We appreciate you guys.
Because it means a lot, and we believe in it. We believe in it. Believe you me. You know, how we typically do. How your week going? We on a good, solid pace, so there's not a big gap between the last time they heard how you're doing, but we still like to check in anyway.
It's good, man. I'll date it. My wife's birthday is tomorrow.
Come on, somebody.
So, trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
She'll hear this after my second oldest, mm-hmm. who's in school locally, hit me and said, hey, can you pick me up tonight at such and such a time?
Yeah.
I said, what's going on? You got a problem? Because she lives on campus.
Right.
She was like, nah, I need to come home and clean up for mom's birthday tomorrow.
Man.
I said, okay.
Come on.
So that's one of the things that was on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I was going to do it all.
Yeah.
Especially that we got 5 kids, four permanently in the house. But we're going to get that together, man. So it's one of them weeks. And yeah. Then you got Valentine's Day right after. Then our anniversary is the month after. Then it's just that time for me.
You know, our anniversary is back though, one another.
Exactly.
It's right there. So that's maybe we go to visit some of your roots.
And Yeah, I done. That's going to be a whole nother episode. My wife don't believe I'm Jamaican. Talking about my mom and not Jamaican. Where my mama from is her business.
Correct. Has nothing to do with
I'm
me.
I'm from Yard.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah. But anyway, we off track. So just a quick pressure. Everything's going well. School's going well.
Yeah.
Semester, we're in the first still quarter, if you will, of this semester. And I have no complaints, no worries. Everything's pretty laid out. We'll visit at the end of the episode about some of the interactions we've been getting on social media and kind of cover those things because there's been questions about that. But without further ado, we'd like to get right into what we're going to be discussing on the episode today. Today's topic of discussion is teen privacy versus traditional parenting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a yesterday, a today, and a tomorrow dealing with that topic. And based on our last episode, y'all pretty much know where old Jay Black probably gonna fall in this, but I may surprise you.
Yeah. So speaking of that, because I didn't address it, we initially planned to roll out back-to-back episodes on the adult children living at home with their parents. But we're trying to organize so we can get some call-in guests.
Yes.
And that was just a little bit too much. So we'll have to film at a different time to take advantage of that. So hopefully it'll be the Friday episode after this one, but we're going to get to it. We're not going to abandon it. And that was, like you said, some great feedback online on that. But yeah, man, teen privacy, that wasn't even a part of my dialogue
right.
growing up.
Right.
We're going to see what to do in this conversation.
We will. So because there's three phases, we like to focus on briefly. I want to begin with like what you just mentioned, your background in it. I'll share mine as well, but I'm curious to know, we'll start with your background, then we'll see what your approach is now. And so without forecasting too much or too much foreshadowing, what's your background dealing with teen privacy in your parents' home when you were growing up?
Yeah. So growing up, it was just my sister and I. My sister's 5 years older than me.
Right.
And we always lived in a house since I've been alive. My sister said they were living in an apartment, but you know, he was moving on up.
Yeah.
He was moving up a little bit. So I always knew a house, always knew a yard and decent amount of space, decent neighbors. And I never really, like, the concept of privacy, I understood that I wanted privacy, but my dad was clear that it was his house.
Oh, absolutely.
It was his house. So I probably didn't, like, close my door probably till I was 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, that didn't mean anything. It didn't mean anything. And honestly, it was probably just crack. To be completely honest, it was probably just crack.
Yeah.
But maybe by the time I started driving, I probably would shut my door all the way and had some expectation of I can come in here and be to myself. And it's not likely that somebody would bust in. Not that they couldn't bust in, but by the time I got my license, and I mentioned it before, life started to make sense for me.
Yes.
You didn't have to worry about me doing homework and be at school. And I mean, not that I was in school every day, but the grades suggested that I was on track. So it wasn't any behavior problems is what I'm getting at.
Right.
So by that time, you know, and again, it was cell phones came into play. I want to say my senior year, I had a cell phone. Not that my parents got me. That's a whole nother story.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my partners at school turned 18 and realized he can get credit. He said, "Hey, imagine when I got a phone.
Y'all want your partners.
Y'all want phones?" Absolutely.
Run that.
How much is it a month? Not that it matter, because we was probably going to be good for about a month.
Yeah.
That first month. But I was able to, so I guess the point is you were still using house phones to communicate, the Mac.
Yeah.
You know, Macaroni Tony.
I saw that.
Yeah. I don't have any horror stories of my parents picking up the phone and going off. Definitely pick up the phone, hang up and be like, "Hey," you know what I'm saying? But they never picked up the phone and embarrassed me. And probably because it was age appropriate. I wasn't like 12 hiding under the bed beside the bed. So I was like, "Hey girl."
Right.
So everything was age appropriate. And then again, like, I had my license, so I wasn't there a lot. But privacy, it wasn't. I was very clear that anywhere I go in the house, somebody else could be at that same place at any given moment.
And a comment you made, you kind of opened up a new wrinkle for it. For me, I didn't even think about that portion. My initial reaction was, like you began, your room, your bedroom or your space. I didn't think about cell phones or, mm-hmm. well, scratch cell phone, but phone period. There's a, you know, back then, obviously these children these days wouldn't understand this, but there was one phone line for the entire house, and everybody had to use or share that same phone line. And obviously, by default, the parents, surely a call comes in or someone needs to use the phone, parents have first dibs. If the phone's available, it's available.
Do you remember going from, do you remember when call waiting came in?
I do.
Okay.
I do because obviously the busy signal.
Yeah.
Hey, you on the phone and I'm expecting a phone call.
Yeah.
If they call here and it's busy. But that's, again, that's a whole nother avenue. So I want to stay right there for a minute. So because you did, you were allotted the semi-freedom, or actually more freedom than most probably could say they had. Can you think back of how it would have, or if it ever made you feel a certain kind of way, if your parents did kind of one of those days you had that old door crack, or when you start to say, I'm gonna close this old thing all the way. If they come in, they come in, oh well. But let's say, for instance, an instance where they did.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think back of a time that, or how it made you feel once somebody or an adult just kind of barged in your room and just started talking to you like the door wouldn't close or wouldn't crack?
Again, I was well trained.
Yeah.
Expectations were set very, very early. So it wasn't, those things happened, but it wasn't like, how dare you, or I feel a kind of way.
Right.
I'm shocked or surprised because I had an agenda that I was working.
Yes.
You came in and you interrupted it. So never that. And the majority of the times, if it was a bus in where it was going to be something not good, it was because I was going to get a whipping and I knew it.
Yeah,
I was.
I'm on standby.
Really? Are you ready? Okay. So it wasn't. Not that I can remember, and I got to say it was because the ground rules were laid out quite elegantly,
man,
and enforced on a regular basis. So I never got to a point where they let something go so far, and then I crossed the line.
Right.
The line was immediate.
Right.
So if I was on the other side, it wasn't a gray area.
Right.
How about you?
I didn't even get my own room until high school. Mm. Like, and I'm talking, man, like legit high school, 19th grade. So about 10th grade. But prior to that, like I said, my history was two families in one home. Anyway, my mom and my aunt pooling resources. So house full of cousins, you know what I mean? So everybody's sharing rooms, and you got three young boys and a teenage girl sharing the same telephone in the same house. So that's the ridiculousness with that. So I didn't really know what it was to have my own anything as far as space, phone time, whatever the case may be. So there weren't many duck off spots or corners in the house. Certainly not a room with a door closed.
Yeah.
So I guess my childhood experience, I'd have to fast forward to high school. And by then, I think my mom, I don't want to say respected my privacy per se, but it was a town home. So I'm upstairs, she's downstairs. She wasn't really about them stairs like that, right, first of all.
Right.
But like I said, man, once my brother passed, without going too far in the story, as I've shared before, I had a brother 2 years older than me. He passed away, I guess, when I was in about the seventh, eighth grade. So by the time I made the high school, my mom, to me, in my opinion, looking back, she was very, she was always trying to compensate, it seemed, that I was alone now without my brother, though my baby sister was there. But, you know, my older brother, he was there my entire life. So I felt like that kind of was one of the things. I don't want to intrude. I don't want to barge on him. I want him to have his own space. I want him to develop his own time or habits or trends that he's now going to be doing for the rest of his teenage into adult life.
Yeah.
So I really feel like it wasn't a matter of she was trying to give me my respect or respect my privacy. I just think she was like, whatever makes him happy or helps him cope, I think that played a part in what she had going on.
What about when it came to having female, I don't know if we're supposed to say that no more. Young women over.
Oh.
Because I remember by my senior year, I could be alone actually my junior year too. But I remember specifically my senior year, my sister was gone and her room became like a den.
Right.
Where everybody, and that's one thing that helped out is my mom knew my mom and pops knew my core friends.
Right.
The people that they call their sons today, like, they were always coming over. So it wasn't like I was just running any and everybody through the house. And even when, you know, the young women would come over, mm-hmm. very respectful. I was very particular about who I would bring home to meet.
Absolutely.
Because I wonder, it would annoy me too, right? Just some stuff. But, you know, I could say senior year, the upstairs, one of my partners called it the honeycomb hideout.
We used that in school, in college.
The honeycomb hideout. But the thing was, it was the room right next to my parents' room.
Oh, but no.
But not that they were upstairs all the time we were in there. So it was, you know, that was one of them things. We never really had that's something else. We never really had conversations about when something is appropriate.
Right.
I guess I was just respectful enough and kind of honest. Like I said, they laid it down smooth.
Yeah.
To where probably I was more in my head about asking for a privilege or can this change from this to that, that I probably waited 6 to 9 months after they would have said yes before, because I was just in my head.
Yeah.
So we never really had that conversation. I respect my parents' house, and I knew what they would or would not accept. But when you, like you said, y'all got to the townhouse, and you know you checking for the opposite sex.
Yeah.
What was that like? What was acceptable?
Well, that's a story too. It seems like everything about my life and childhood is a story. My mom, throughout the life, like I said, we moved back and forth, Shreveport to Houston. So now in high school, one of those instances are about to take place again. It's 10th grade year. And she was like, hey, we're getting ready to move back to Houston. I can't do it. I'm staying. Like, I'm locked in now. I'm not going. I wasn't being defiant, but I was dead vested. You know, I was in sports. I was in band. I was a leader in ROTC. I was a figure, if you will, at school. And I was just in the 10th grade, in my opinion, anyway. So now we came up with a plan. She was like, well, if you can move in with your aunt and stay here, but me and your baby sister, we're moving to Houston. Bet, run it. So I say that to say my 9th, 10th grade year with my mom, zero, no activity. I didn't even attempt it. Wasn't on my radar like that. But now, junior year, senior year, I'm all the way live.
Yeah.
So my last aunt that I lived with, she had one of those living rooms that it was immaculate. But you couldn't step foot over the threshold. Like, she didn't have plastic on the couches or anything, but it was because nobody was allowed in that area. So I'll never forget the first time a young lady called me and was like, hey, what you doing? I'm finna pull up on you. Run it, do it. This was my first. I went to my aunt about it. She was like, yeah. So she came to the door, knocked on the door, opened the door. My aunt took us to the parlor, if you will. So she was like, hey, y'all sit down. I'm looking at her like, you feel good? You good? She was like, no, sit down. Y'all good. She walk off. I tell her, man, you must be somebody, man. My aunt don't play this. You can't sit in this room. But after that, every young lady that came by to visit me, she always let us sit in that room. So that almost became my motivation for inviting girls over to the house. I get to go sit in this front room in here, man. So she was okay with it. And I never tried any foolishness or funny business. Even when I visited a couple of young ladies' homes in high school, and they were way more laid back, comfortable than I was. They were like, let's go sit in here. And I'm like, man, I need to be in your parents' eyesight. You know what I mean?
That's a great point, because I didn't even think about how the privacy or lack there, whatever the tone for privacy was in your home, informed what you expected when you went to another home. Because I was the same way.
Man.
I would say, especially after school, going to somebody's house where you know nobody's there, but like somebody's coming home at some point.
Right.
I know when she can do, we just go in the room. And I'm like, I never even met your mom before.
Your people.
And your dad ain't in the picture nowhere, but man. I was hesitant to be in compromising situations just because of the respect that I had from the privacy rules, if you will, laid out in the house. How was it? How did it impact you when you left the house? Before we had kids, like those things we talked about moving out. I had my my rent was $265.
Yeah.
$265 a month. Yeah. Still went broke, but we're having that freedom, that space, not having anybody to tell you no.
Right.
Like did the respect travel with you or
out of there?
Did they can't hit you?
Out of there.
Yeah, okay.
Out of there.
Okay.
Crashed out. Remember I told you the biggest mistake I made in college was moving off campus. I stayed on campus one semester. The following semester, I moved off campus with a roommate. My roommate was my partner that we were on the foolery with in high school already.
Mm-hmm.
So now double down.
Same for me.
Yeah. So now double down to me and this brother go get a crib, an apartment together, and this dude go pledge a fraternity. It becomes part of the intake process. So there are processes happening at my crib. And so now the influx of traffic and people and celebrations and what have you taking place in my crib, I had absolutely no boundaries at my house. Imagine that. You know, you in your first exposure years or semesters into college and freedom and no adults around, you go from... I don't want to say caged in, but restricted respectfully.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I disrespected anybody or disrespected myself. But however, it was an entirely different atmosphere at that point. And I just look back and I thank God that things are as they are today.
Fools and babies, he protect. I ain't no baby. Definitely ain't no baby.
So now, like I was saying, that's covering our background on it, right? So now, a lot of times as an adult, as a parent, we try to draw from, even if we don't know we're doing it, subconsciously, if we're like, I do this a certain way, and if anybody ever pulled you to the side and said, why do you parent that way? And if you had to sit down and pinpoint it, if you were really honest with yourself, you'd probably be able to say, I guess that's how my parents were. So now with that being the foundation, what is your approach as a parent now? So we went yesterday, we're doing today. As a parent, did you have the same approach you feel like that your dad and your mom had with you? Or do you feel like you stepped back a little bit and you were more lenient, or you actually instituted a change? I want to say that first before I'm going to ask some more about that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it aligns, or do you think you're a little different?
I think it aligned kind of subconsciously, as you were implying, just because that's what was instilled. And I also had girls first.
Mm-hmm.
So I had girl, boy. Right. Yeah. So the first three were kind of clustered together, basically two and some, you know, a couple months apart between one and two and two and three. So it was a no brainer that it won't gonna be boys. Like there won't be no boys in my daughter's room.
No,
it just won't happen. It won't gonna be anywhere where I couldn't see them. They won't gonna be there when I couldn't be there. Even if my wife was home, I didn't want them to be there up until a certain age if the father wasn't there, because I knew what it's not even so much as what I thought. I knew what I experienced dealing with girls whose father was not in the house.
Right.
Seeing a lot more, a lot more relaxed, especially the mom is working crazy trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
So I was always conscious of that. And my kids are different to me. Like we kind of parent a little bit more, like we're a lot more open with our life experiences.
Right.
And earlier.
Yes.
So our kids really wanted to be around us. Right. So if they were doing anything, they'd be like, hey, can so-and-so come over here? Our house became that house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I'm grateful for it. I think we talked about it on the episode before, like sometimes it feels annoying that you always got a house full of everybody, you know, trying to crash over here.
Yeah, man.
But
trust
I
me.
Would much rather that, because I understand what the expectations are here. I set them.
Right.
So that was my experience, I guess, the initial approach. And we moved around so much, they really didn't have time to develop like long-term friends or relationships until we got to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, they're still in contact with people that they met along the way. But we weren't physically there more than a year and a half, 2 years. We were overseas, we were there about 3 years. But even that, they were back and forth between the U.S. and where we live. Like, they come home in the summer.
Yeah.
you know, I get, like I said, I guess it was based on what I experienced, but not necessarily so much intentional about I'm going to do this the way my parents did. It's just how it worked out. And if my kids had my temperament, maybe it would be different. But I didn't have my parents' temperament, so
true. Right.
The ingredients weren't the same, so the outcome is different.
Yeah. So kind of the same for me. If I really look at my parenting, and let me add another wrinkle to this, two parent household, right? Mm-hmm. I don't come from a two parent household.
Mm-hmm.
So because of it, the other dynamic is I have a perspective. My wife has a perspective, and we're learning more and more as my 18-year-old is exposing us to things that our viewpoints on certain areas are different. Case in point, my son had him a little girlfriend. So then he always tell his mom stuff way before me when it's dealing with stuff that he don't know how I'm going to take it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Default parent.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to the default parent, which is my wife, and he bounced stuff off of her. I'm getting ready to tell dad about so-and-so. Like he was dating this chick before. I say this chick, I'm sorry. He was dating this young lady
mm-hmm.
before I knew. Because I'm big on, man, you got time for this. Put this on the back burner. Which isn't always fair to these young adults, because that's what they are. This is the time for them to make these mistakes and learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because it is, and this goes to the privacy and traditional thing, because they are, we try to stunt their growth by saying, omit that portion. Just focus on your books. It's not realistic, because right now you want them to make the minor mistakes before the consequences of the deeper decisions start to hit. Right. So because of that, now he's dating this young lady.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And so now it's exposed to me, but in the same conversation of, and mom said it was okay if she come over. Is that okay with you? You're not going to present it to me like that.
Yes, I already negotiated.
So now I'm the villain if I turn around and say, well, no, ain't nobody talk to me about it. It's not happening. I'm not going to do that. So when I lay some ground rules, like, well, this is what it looked like. You know, like, you can't take her upstairs. Like, I'm certainly not your room, but anywhere upstairs is off limits. He kind of was like, what are we supposed to do then? Sit in the living room with you guys or outside? You can sit outside. I'm cool with that. I don't have no problem with y'all sitting outside. He was like, nah, we'll sit in the living room. So they did. She looking at me, my wife, she kind of was like, why? What's the problem with them going upstairs and watching a movie in the movie area and blah, 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 blah. Crazy? Like, I'm having flashbacks.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
I'm a young man and I don't trust young teenage boys. And that's not to say my son is a non-trustworthy young man. I absolutely trust him. I trust the foundation I've given him. However, this is a young man, and he has hormones. They have curiosities, and they have exposure to internet and television that we just didn't have. music, just like the episode with Mr. Baker.
Yeah.
It influences things.
Yeah.
You understand? So now because it
creates a mood.
Absolutely. So now, no, sir, you can't go snuggle up in the corner in the theater with the door closed, watching a movie and nobody's in there. I be doggone. If I go up there and I walk in there, I'm not at home. So I come home and I go upstairs and walk in there and they're in there sitting down, laid in the corner, like he's laying and she kind of laid back on him.
It actually played out like
this.
Yes. Oh.
After I told you this is a no.
Oh.
You understand? So you lay back on this young, she laid back on you. I'm furious. Because when I bump the door and look in there, he lock eyes with me. She don't. But because it's his house, he know when movement taking place. He cut his eyes over at me and look at me. I kind of look at him with the, I know you lying, dog.
All the way lying.
That's what I did. Like, come here, bro. I'm not going to embarrass you in front of your little company.
Yeah.
But come here. So he come out the room. Like, what are we doing? Mom said we can watch a movie. Brother, we talked about this. You understand? Which is why I move the way I move. You cannot come upstairs. Mom, you know, moms, no shade to the women, but moms typically are more, oh, what them kids going to do? Plenty. 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 Not going to get explicit about what can be and cannot be, but plenty. So
that's probably another conversation, though, because
yes,
it's two parts of that. The playing me against my wife. Don't do that. Whether you intentionally or that's just how it played out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go beyond what I said or what I said as the rules, and now there's a consequence. I'm not talking about me punishing you, but y'all have slipped up and somebody, you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
But lifelong change.
Because you don't know how to manage yourself in that situation until you're in that situation.
Until you're in that situation.
Now you're in there unplanned, unprepared, no condoms, and this is not condoning, but this is how it happens.
Yes.
First base, second base, whatever they call it, right?
Yes.
The ground rules that you probably set probably considered that.
Absolutely.
Because once it get going, bro, and then another thing is not that sex is bad.
Right.
I grew up with not necessarily sex is bad because God said don't do it. That's how the world got started with the apple. This is historical.
Yeah.
I'm just following suit. If that's the only rationale you got.
But God said.
Okay, well, I'm going to be another story about this. So it's those things that, you know, when you're actually trying to prepare somebody.
Yes.
And maybe we're not having the in-depth conversation about this is why. So sometimes parents get caught up in the, because I said so.
Yes.
Sometimes what you're saying enough.
Ain't enough. And think about two young individuals in this situation, and it's highly likely neither of you have any experience in this situation. Y'all don't know how quickly and easily the next step or level can take place. And then before you know it, you don't realize you really were supposed to stop four stages ago.
Mm-hmm.
But lack of experience, you don't know that. You're unaware. You're not intentionally trying to go there. You think y'all just dilly-dallying around. And before you know it, oh, wait, we dilly-dallying around. You see what I mean?
Now, who going to college and who getting the job?
You hear me?
Because somebody got to work.
So I that brings up a valid point that I'd like to transition into.
That's good.
We did yesterday. Today, let's talk. Well, we still want to stick on today a little bit. The today that I want to discuss is we mentioned PAP.
Yeah.
Our last episode together.
Punk A Parenting.
So now another version, a politically correct version of papping, if you will. We're going to coin that phrase. So now we're so focused as parents of being equal rights and equal opportunity. You saw that? So now, because we're so focused on your abilities and what your God-given rights are and what you should be focused on and what you should be entitled to and allowed to do, I told y'all my favorite phrase for this year is at what cost? So now, the expectation of my house, my rules from traditional parenting to this modern day new parenting, which focuses on teen privacy, they don't really mix. They don't mesh. Oil and water. Because now you expect me to come to your closed bedroom door and knock on your door.
Right.
You haven't put 27 cents on the mortgage.
At all.
You haven't put 7 cents on the taxes for this property. You have not demonstrated to me that you have a thorough understanding of sound decision making from A to Z. Surely I've seen you do A to C, A to G even.
Right.
But I hadn't seen you, son, go A to Z. So I say there's a danger associated with giving an unaware, ill-prepared person adult-like rights, yeah, responsibilities, and privileges that they have not deserved, earned, nor do they even understand what that is and why. So why are we extending these things to these young individuals who don't have anything to offer to the situation? What are your thoughts on that, please?
Too many of us want to be friends with our kids.
Homeboy.
We want to be friends.
Yeah.
We want to be, if we are so cool with them, then surely they'll tell us everything.
Right.
I think there's an art form to creating a relationship and relatability. Like my son told me, he also said he knows we're not friends, but there's a need to be relatable. But you my friend.
Right.
My brother too.
Right. Absolutely.
I consult you about things, but I don't ask you permission for nothing.
Absolutely.
And I don't give you permission for nothing.
Vice versa.
So that's how friendships work.
Yes, Lord.
There could be accountability, but accountability means oftentimes holding somebody responsible for a mess they've created,
mm-hmm,
or a short that they've taken, or not living up to a certain thing.
Right.
That's not parenting.
No.
So when we afford them these luxuries that oftentimes we wish we had, it's like we want both of it. We want to be cool with our kids, but we don't want our kids to be, you know, pregnant and starting a family at such a young age that puts them at a disadvantage. And not that you can't live through that. There's plenty of stories of that.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, if you put so much emphasis on just keeping things cool with the kids and not laying ground rules that prepare them for life.
Yeah.
That's the biggest part of it, because they'll enjoy it while they're home.
Mm-hmm.
They'll resent you when they actually get in the real world. Like the story you told about the young man who had a child now,
mm-hmm,
his mother, the child's grandmother, used to take him shopping, buy him everything. Then the mother was buying the grandchild everything, and the father had to step and say, "Hey, I know you used to do that for me. I'm miserable because of it. Like, I got these things that I can't undo." And that's a lot of it. And sometimes we're, especially our generation, because we're going from the got whipped to don't whip,
mm-hmm,
to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we overcorrect. We take the pendulum too far to the nicety side of it. And we lose, not even the ability, we lose the desire to actually parent.
Yes. 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 And the boundaries. And I really hope that people really pay attention to what you just said. That whole segment right there. Those were absolute diamond cutting gems. I really hit home. They really, really mean something. That's what I'm telling you, man. This platform is not just words. These are real life thoughts, memories, and situations. Because there are times for therapy. Absolutely. We 1,000% believe in therapy on the Dear Son Network. There are times to be more harsh as well, though. They need a harsh, stern talking to, or whatever your level of parenting, right, is. But all it is, I had a conversation this week, I kid you not, with, I have a 6-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 18-year-old inside of my home. And I've been talking to the 6 and the 9. I said, "Man, y'all out here acting like y'all don't have home training." They looked at me like they didn't know what that was. And that let me know I'm not doing my job. If you say home training to your children and they don't know what that word or phrase means, you're failing. You're failing. Pap, you're papping. You punk ain't parenting right now, because if they leave the home and they're doing things that you're like, well, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Now's not the time. That's just like when people used to say, don't teach in the game. You teach in practice.
Right.
You practice in practice. You condition in practice and you teach in practice. Once you get to the game, it's time to perform. It's time to do those things that you learned and demonstrate that you learned those things. So now it's a teachable moment. Sure. Don't just let them wild out. But you're having to start from square one in the moment because you didn't talk about it at home. You didn't start that level of parenting at home. So I told mine, I threatened them this week, the 6 and the 9. Let me tell you something. I said, me and your mom, we've been parenting on level one. We're having discussions about everything. We're talking about everything. Y'all wilding out and doing things that we don't agree with. And then we'll have a conversation about it. And it's, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Never do it again. Yes, ma'am. I got you. 24 hours later, repeat offender. My bad. Y'all on level 5, we parenting on level 1. I got to outdo you. That's just who I am. I'm suppressing who I naturally am, and I'm doing you a disservice. I'm setting you up for failure. So if you on 5, I'm going to 7. And this 7, you're really not going to recognize me for a while. But when that 7 helps you suppress that 5 back down to 2, I'll give you 2. You don't have to go to 1. Get down to 2, though. And even 2, that look, I cut that look at you, you're going to kind of fluctuate between 1 and 2. But you have no business on 5 and your parents on 1.
Yeah.
It's time to turn up a little bit. And I got what you need. I got it.
It's weird how lessons in privacy or expectations of privacy attached to all of that.
Yes.
Because what a child thinks that they can do at home alone in their room, and that translates out in public. Like when we live, one thing that I can say about my kids, and I'm not using your story to throw shade at anything, but
no.
My older three, that's the other thing. My older three, they got it.
Yeah.
The last two, we thought we were done after 3.
Yeah.
So we turned parenting off.
Yeah.
We had to figure out how to turn it back on with the younger two. So we have a version of 6 and 9 too. We got 11 and 10 right now. But we'd be out in public and my kids, especially, well, not all of them. I got to say all of them, because when we overseas, we had 5.
Right.
They would see kids running, and we were in the Middle East. In the Middle East, they parent a little bit freer, like allow their children to explore, ask why, you know, run through the store. It was a thing.
Right.
When we get out of public and they see a child wilding out, the first thing they do is look at me.
Correct.
Like they're about to get in trouble. It's like, Dad, what is that?
We don't even
understand that behavior. And to a large degree, if you don't treat privacy the same way, that's going to happen. You know, that they're going to carry that as well into life. And I think about what me and my wife never had a conversation about what we expect or what is fair when it comes to privacy.
Yes.
And that's a miss.
Yes.
Because it puts you in a position where now you're reacting to somebody testing the boundaries. And we had that with, our oldest.
Mm-hmm.
She's very different now. She's a mom. She's, you know, she's still got her quirks. We'll figure some stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she was the, like me, touch the stove. You say it's hot for real?
Gonna burn me.
Yeah. For real. What if I just spray some alcohol on it? Would it catch on fire? That kind of thing. But yeah. It got to a point where I was so frustrated with where things were going and really upset with myself because I hadn't checked things in a timely fashion to allow it to get to a point. When she came home from school one day, her door was off. Door off the hinges. You don't deserve, you can't be trusted anywhere. You need to always have an expectation that eyes are on you.
Yes.
So you have no privacy.
Yes.
Give me your phone. Give me all of that stuff. And that's another thing is, like, we didn't check phones early enough.
Well, I'm glad you said
and
that.
And they getting access earlier and earlier. And I'm saying that, you know, as a guilty party in my house. It amazes me that my parents, who had an issue with me having a phone at 17, a homeboy got, can hear that somebody's iPad is not working.
Oh, Oh.
Where's the closest one? Can is it faster to get it? Can you get it fixed? Is it faster to get a new one? Or I'm like, whoa. They don't even text you back.
So
it ain't about keeping in communication with them, but they are in it and they are sharing the pain of their communication device not working.
Yeah.
And it pains me to see my father.
Because who is this guy now?
Mr. Put the Keys on the Dresser. Man, my father called. So quick aside. I came home late one night, man. Me and my partners was really out doing nothing. Well, it was one that we would do. We were in mischief.
Yeah.
We were out. We actually had a science project. The science project part was true. So we went to the store to get some stuff. It was like about homogeneous versus heterogeneous. So I think it was having something with a bunch of ingredients and having something that has one thing, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So that was the 15-20 minute part of our going.
Three hours
later, we still in the store messing with some girls and just in mischief. My boy got on the speakerphone and said something, gave a shout out to all the crabbers in the house. That was a high school. Hampton crabbers. You know what I'm saying? Like on the, that kind of thing.
Loose with it.
I come home and I had my pager on my hip that my dad didn't know about.
A phone and a pager?
No. Two different
oh,
times.
Two different eras. I was going to say, wait a minute.
The phone didn't last. I had to get a phone back because they won't plan that. Like, I'm on somebody else's credit. Yeah. Like, they won't plan. You can get that back tomorrow. Yeah. So then I got the pager. My dad saw that pager and lost his mind.
You know what that meant back then?
Knew I was a kingpin.
Yeah, you hustling.
That Joker was almost in tears. They gave my son a pager.
Who needs to get in touch with you that
they
bad,
gave
son?
My son a pager. The bill was only $7 a month or $10 a month if you had the character text. I forgot what it's called, but if you know you get a page and it has a number come up, and then there was a different one you can have messages come up, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Long story short, when he gave me the pager back, guess who pays me the most after that?
Him.
Absolutely.
Him.
Because it was a direct connect, but it was a thing. So long way around the corner about not having the communication. Not setting expectations. And I'm thinking that my pager is my pager.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, that's my information.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, nah.
See that.
Put it on the dresser.
And the then pager.
Like, yeah. Confiscated. Cause he, all of that in his mind, all of that tied in me being out late.
Correct.
Not, you know, just loose with it. I'm selling crack. I got to be selling crack.
And if I take away the thing that people can look for you,
he'll never sell crack again.
Down somewhere.
And he won't get locked up and he won't be on FBI's most wanted.
Yeah.
But lack of communication and talking through stuff, the why about a thing will put you in those scenarios. Because again, like I said, I was very clear on what was and wasn't expected. So if I tried it, I knew I was trying it.
Yes.
But it never came with the, here's why I said that.
Yes.
It just came with the punishment.
Listen. We could do this all day.
Indeed.
We could do this all day. To slip and just give you a glimpse of the tomorrow portion.
Mm.
Cause nice segue that John's just dropped about going through the phone, going through the tablet. Just because your child is 4 to 9, 10, you feel like, oh, they on the tablet. Big mistake. My wife went through one of my son's tablet. Almost every website we told him do not go to, he had gone to those sites.
Yeah, to verify.
Right. Obviously, we have blocks on the tablet, so nothing explicit. But there are sites catering to children that are inappropriate for children, just for their age group. You know, he on all of them, and you know which one it is, Mr. Laboratory. So I went in and I locked his tablet up. You know, I got the app. I locked, block.
Kid lock?
Well, it's another one where everything he requests, it sends it to me and I have to approve it.
Yeah, my son jailbroke kid lock. That's why I asked.
Listen, I don't care what it is. It asks. I didn't do that to the 6-year-old. I did it to the, at that time, 8-year-old. Guess what this local joker did?
Let me see your tablet.
Swap tablets with me. Let me see something. So now we walking in the room and I don't understand why y'all always have each other tablets? The 6-year-old with his little innocent self says, Bishop wants to trade tablets for a while, so I'm using my big brother's tablet. It's cool. That's not cool, son. You're a pawn right now. You don't even know it. Just hold tight. I'm going to figure out what he's doing to you. Just hold tight. So I'm watching this for a few days, and finally, he positioning himself in a little corner where if you walk in the room, he can see you, but you can't see his screen. That's the last straw, big dog. Let me see that. So we go through, and sure enough, now you on the unguided, if you will, tablet.
Yeah.
So I say that to say, don't get caught up in this teen privacy versus traditional parenting to where you totally abandon traditional parenting. Bump them kids' privacy, man. Check that. You could be saving their lives. You could be saving them from a huge lifelong mistake. Go through that phone. Go through that tablet. Don't be so caught up to say, I'm a villain or I'm a uneducated person or because I'm infringing upon my children's rights. I don't want to hear nothing about your kids' rights. That's your prerogative. I promise. I'm never going to tell anybody how to parent.
Yeah.
As for me and mine, because I know young adults are prone to certain types of mistakes and they need a little jarring or realignment, I'm going to dig in. And sometimes they may even be angry and hate it for the moment. You'll be all right tomorrow because you're going to be here tomorrow to be all right.
Mm. Sound like Trump. Maybe I said that. Maybe I didn't.
We got a good flow. We got a good flow. This our sweet spot. We've come to the sweet spot of the show, timing wise. What you got? Anything you want to share with the audience or make them aware of or bring to anybody's attention? What you got?
Yeah, to close out the episode, if you got to this point, check the links in the description below, because I came across, I didn't get to it in the conversation, but I came across some interesting links about how children's privacy is tied to the Fourth Amendment and some other case studies about when you can or can't invade your children's privacy. So check that out. But on a personal note, everything's going, man. The book, I'll insert the website for the book, my wife's book, Chocolate Princess Volume 1, I would say is for young women of color ages 5 to 15. Very good read. Very good read. Dope illustrations and all of that. Love, yeah. Keisha J. Also love Keisha J Studios for your wearable art. My book, Dear Son, 20 Life Prompts to Facilitate Effective Parenting. It's an ebook. Is available. That's linked below as well.
That's it. See, we push it. We're grinding. We're growing. We're advancing. And we're supporting. Don't ever forget that last part. It's very important that you support things that you believe in, because you'll look up tomorrow and those things that you support, believe in, and enjoy, they won't be there anymore. And you're wondering, what happened? Everybody has a part to play to keep that thing around. Be intentional. Be focused. Thank y'all for tuning in. Please continue to do so.
Appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantanya products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.